stand together as we sing 543. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of His resurrection share, when His chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. And when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight is Scripture Testimony, Stanley Heights Testimony Night. So looking forward to that. We'll talk about that a little more later. But if you're a guest for the first time, we have for you a Connection Point booklet. It'll tell you about us and be your guide. So if you'll raise your hand when the ushers pass by, the guys will give you one. Inside of this is a welcome card. We'd love for you to complete it, put it in the offering box, or give it to an usher on your way out, and we'll send you a thank you note. Well, with that said, let me give you a few announcements tonight. In your bulletin, you can read, and Pastor Alexander went through a number of things with us today. So I want to say again, thanks for all of you who are involved in making our breakfast possible, our deacons serving us and making it possible. It's a great time together. And then you want to know, next Sunday morning is Starting Point class, and so it's for those who are considering membership. It's in my office to your right, and we do that in the Adult Bible Class Kids Sunday School Hour. I want you to know about that. And then, of course, tonight we will have Word of Testimony and things. It's maybe Stanley Heights testimonies. And really, I love when you give Scripture testimonies, Scriptures that have meant, are important to you, the Lord used them in your life, and you can share with them. You can read just the Scripture. You can share a testimony about how that Scripture has meant, what it's meant to you. But either way, it'll be a blessing for our body to minister to one another in our church body life. So I think that's it. Oh, right after church tonight, guys, it is men 16 years old and older, and our basketball outreach tonight. So we want you to know about that. Oh, one other thing. It's not your bulletin. But as the cases of COVID seem to be on a bit of a rise and a fall, and there's these things happening out there, we have our mask section only back here. Next Sunday, that is going to become a truly mask-only section. So I'm not sure. It was funny. In early service, we had about half the folks were not masked and the other half were. And then I don't know about the other service. Wasn't that many. So we're going to do that next Sunday, just to let you know. And if you could even do this, because when folks come in, when we all sit in the back and folks come in, guests especially, there's no place for them to go. Right. And how many of you know it's a weird situation when you walk in and there's no place to go, especially when you're self-conscious already? So if you could work on moving up a little bit and make sure we save some places for our guests when they come in, especially for those guests that come in late, very typical, and we want to make this as comfortable as a setting for them as possible. And I know your heart to be a real servant for others is going to really shine through. You'll do great in that. Okay? All right. With that said, then, let's say the scripture for this week as we together think about our core value of being grounded in the unchanging truth from our unchanging God, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, lifting our voices as we say the scriptures together. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Well, we'll go to the Lord and ask his hand upon us as we gather tonight, and then after that you can be seated. So, Lord, we come to you and with expectation of the good things that you'll do. Even tonight, we get the privilege of sharing the scriptures, things that you've shared, shown us, and the way your word has been precious to us and helpful and has blessed us. And we get to bless others in your name through the scriptures and then other testimonies of Stanley Heights and how you worked in us here. And so, Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would have such great freedom that he would move people to share and that we would share with his control and his power so that we minister one to another. And so we ask for your help in it. We look forward to singing about your care for us and giving our all to you, even as we sang about heaven and we sing about faith and victory through Christ. So give us a time that is uplifting for Jesus' sake, and we pray it in his name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
1 John 5:4 reads, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We're going to sing that hymn, number 486. The first two stanzas of "Faith is the Victory."
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. In veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death, it's still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
That song so much, I lost track of where we were in the service. Just playing along, thinking about it, and I lost my head. Well, there you go. All right. Well, we're going to have two sections of testimonies, scripture testimonies, and we'll start on this side of the congregation, and we'll do the first section here. We'll sing a little more, and then we'll do the other side over here. So if you have a Stanley Heights testimony or you have a scripture testimony that you would like to share, and then what we'll do is Pastor Alexander has the microphone, and he'll hold it for you so you can hold your Bible. and if you say it happens regularly, right? Well, I don't need that. You probably don't need that. But the rest of us in a room like this that has a high ceiling, the rest of us need you to have that microphone to hear. Can I get an amen on that one? There we go. So we want to all be part of what the Lord is doing in your life and be blessed as the Lord has spoken to you. It'll bless us and build our faith. All right. So let's do this. We'll start on this side. And Pastor Alexander has the microphone. Who will be first? And just wait, flag him down, and he'll work his way as we open the scriptures together. And hey, when you do this, here's how it works. You have your scripture, but one of the great things to do is when people give a reference is to go ahead and flip it to it in your Bible. And as they read it, it'll let the words see the word and let the word speak to you. All right. Who's first today? Who's first over here? Just hold up your hand and brother. Yes, Miss Miller. Hold on a second. I'm not sure if that's on. Is our wireless handheld on? And you're fired up there, right, Pastor Ed? Ah, we have it. All right. Hold that really, really close. Those have a small pickup pattern, so go ahead.
Well, George was a career student and changed majors quite often. And so every check that I wrote Jeremiah 3:33. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Which one thing is to pay for all the tuition of four daughters and my husband at the same time. And we were really afraid that our oldest daughter was going to graduate high school before George graduated any of his colleges. But here I changed once he did graduate Tennessee Temple. I changed to Jude. I love Jude. Jude is my nickname. So Jude 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference.
Very good. Very good. All right. Who else on this side? Just raise up your hand and we'll pass try to get to you. Okay. Yes, sir.
As some of you remember, I don't remember exactly when it was, but last November, I had a little altercation in Canada, and I thought I was going to be on a permanent vacation there for 5 years. And anyway, when all that was going down, all I did, I prayed there where I was at and asked the Lord to intervene any way he could, any way that was possible. That's all I asked. Whatever the outcome was, I was good with it. And so time went by. And finally, I was supposed to go back for my permanent vacation March 30th, and they called me on the 21st of March, and I answered the phone, and the guy says, Mr. Good, you had a little incident up here November 23rd. Do you remember it? And I said, not a day has went by that I haven't thought about it. And he said, well, I'm just happy to tell you that the Crown, that's what they call their legal system, has decided not to file any charges. And what a blessing that was.
Yeah.
And I really think where the Lord really intervened was the guy that interrogated me. He liked veterans, and we really hit it off, and we had a good rapport and a good conversation. And I really feel that the Lord put him in there, because it could have been anybody else that didn't like veterans or didn't like crazy Americans that are armed. But anyway, my verse is Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened for you. And every day I thought about that how the Lord was going to intervene in whichever way that he thought was best. And I'm just happy that I'm here today and I'm not living in Canada.
Amen. Yes, wonderful. All right. Who else on this side? Just hold up your hand and share your testimony, your scripture. All right. We're not going to go wait on you long, but we do want to give you the chance to share the word. Okay. Well, all right. All right, then. Listen, I think that'll there being no more testimonies on that side of the church, then what we'll do is we're going to move on, and we'll go to the next after we sing. Well, this side of the church will have shared testimonies as well. All right. So, Brother Dan, come on.
We're going to continue in our worship and singing two songs. The first one, 528, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. You can remain seated as we sing the first and the third stanzas of this song.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
And then if you'll stand with me, we're going to sing together number 368. All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom powered. The first three verses of 368.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. All for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform His bidding. Let my feet run in His ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth His praise. I've lost sight of all beside, so enchained my spirit's vision, looking on the crucified. Oh, for Jesus, oh, for Jesus, looking on the crucified. Jesus, oh, for Jesus, looking on the crucified.
Thank you. You can be seated.
Well, let's see here. We have another section of testimonies. This time we'll work on this side, and those of you on this side, makes things done decently in order. And so if you have a word to share from the scriptures that God's spoken to you, this is your time to read the word to us. And then any other testimony you have, that's great. Yes, ma'am.
I was feeling especially defeated yesterday since I, too, had an altercation last Friday at work that I didn't really want to have, but I did. And I was feeling beat down and alone, and I read my friend's Facebook post. She posts her journal entry, and it says, I so need this. With all that's going on around me, I need to remember God is where my peace will come from. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hmm. And she took it further and defined keep. And her definition was, is to guard, protect by a military. And the Lord reminded me of 2 Kings 6:17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Lord, open the eyes of the young man, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elijah. And I thought how our God has the greatest, coolest army ever. And as beat down as I felt, that lifted me right up, because in that battle that I was in that Friday, I just felt so beat. But then the Lord reminded me I was there with you the whole time.
Amen.
So I'm grateful for that scripture.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Next on this side. All right, sir.
All right. Open your Bibles too. No, I'm kidding. I would just like to say a few things concerning our experience here at Stanley Heights Baptist Church. The Bible says that he that findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. Well, he that findeth a good church findeth a good thing. I think that most of us here tonight would agree that we have found a very good church. And we are being fed a lot of good food. And I just praise the Lord for the staff of this church, for the people that serve. And for those who are so quick to ready to volunteer in special times, I've got several people I have to call sometimes and say, hey, look, I've got something I can't do. Can you help me? And we always get the help we need. And that's important to be able to serve one another. I pray for this church. I pray for our people to love one another and serve one another. Pray for our pastors. And if you're not praying for the pastors, you should be praying for the pastors, because they're just as much flesh as we are, and they need the strength of the Lord and the power of the Lord in their lives.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord for the day that God brought our pastor to us. There was a lot of controversy going on back then, and it was amazing. Those of you who were not here, you know that we were going through a turmoil trying to decide whether to call this guy or call that guy or whoever. And finally, you know or not, but Pastor Baldwin candidated, and they just shoved him aside. And then when everything fell apart, they brought him back. And he became our pastor. I thank God for him. I thank God that he's been willing to put up with us. And I won't say the other part. But aren't you glad that you have Pastor Baldwin as your pastor? Amen?
Oh, my.
Amen.
Yeah, what happened? That's a funny. There's a lot of funny stories. Dr. Bales will tell me a funny story today. It wasn't funny back then, but you never know what will happen, and you just never know in the Lord's church. Crazy things. Amen. Boy, that is very well said, Doc. Let's see, I saw that. Okay, yeah, Brother Ron.
Yeah, when Jennifer and I had to leave Highland Park Baptist Church, we were devastated, absolutely broken. Crying, and just we raised our kids there at the grammar school and high school and spent decades there, and we started looking for another church, and over a period of weeks, by the grace of God, and you know, with the influence of some magical cookies, you know, we found our way here. And the Lord is good. You know, we love our pastors and their families and the deacons and their families and all of what God's doing in and through the church, and all the ministries of the church are so wonderful. And we're a working church. And so the scripture is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know as your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Great. All right, who else on this side? Miss Eves?
Yeah, celebrating God at the dinner table at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission with one of the ladies' shelter guests about a little over a week ago. And we were just rejoicing in that, how God's word is always true. And that brought to mind one of my favorite verses, which is, I proceeded to tell her, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Mm-hmm. And do you know the reference to that verse? You know, there have been times when I can think of a verse, but I don't remember the reference. What is that reference? You ever had that happen to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she beat me to the punch with that reference. She was fast. This lady, she worked hard during the day, and at night she has no place to lay her head if it weren't for the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. And she said, she proceeded to tell me something like this. Judy, I really love that verse. That's Isaiah 40, verse 8. Amen.
All right. Thank you. All right. Who? Oh, I see. Yes, sir.
Yes. This verse caught me up my eye a long time ago, especially when the pastor was teaching on it. And it's Matthew 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because you have your unbelief, for verily, verily I say unto you, if you ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hither to that, to yonder, and it place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. If we keep the faith and keep it strong and calling on upon the Lord to strengthen it, and if we don't, we have nothing to keep, because the Lord gives us the faith and the strength to go on, especially in these days. Because a lot of people did lose their faith in believing that the Lord will keep them safe. And that's caught my eye, and I give praise to the Lord for keeping me strong in the faith.
Amen. Thank you, sir. All right. Who else on this side has the scripture to share? Wave it well so he can see you, Mrs. Tiffany.
I'll do a Stanley Heights testimony as well. Mine goes back 18 years ago. And it's amazing how the Lord leads. At that time, we had been to probably... we'd been in one church for a good while, and so the Lord was, you know, leading us somewhere else, but we didn't know where. We'd been to probably every church in Chattanooga, which if you've lived here for any amount of time, you know is a lot of churches. And my in-laws live in Illinois, and their pastor and his wife, their parents, Mr. and Mrs. Utter, went to this church. And... so our in-laws said, just try this one more place. And so we came here on the recommendation of my in-laws in Illinois and their pastor and his wife. And that first Sunday we walked in, we were a young couple with two small children. And if I'm perfectly honest, in a point in our marriage where we were really struggling, and Jessica, you sang that day, and I sat on the side with tears streaming that whole service that the Lord used. And here we are.
Praise the Lord, huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Miss Utter often watches live stream. You know, she's in Virginia. So, Miss Utter, there you go. There you go. Great. All right, sir.
Yes, sir. I would just like to thank everyone here at Stanley Heights, and you, Pastor Bachman, how God had used y'all to absolutely change my life. And I just want to say that I love each and every one of y'all here. And I'll never forget what God has done and how He has used y'all to change my life. And how I first came here to Stanley Heights as a night shelter guest at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. And, you know, I'd just like to thank everyone who is affiliated with the Chattanooga Rescue Mission, all the volunteers, all the donors, and all the employees at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission, and how they give hope to the hopeless. Because I had went and visited a place today where I was at, and, you know, I was really contemplating suicide. I was ready to end my life, and it was just like the Lord had snatched me up and led me to the Chattanooga Rescue Mission, and I had a wonderful opportunity to meet Brother Ron here and Brother Ford, and I was thinking today of Brother Ray Thompson, you know, and I get to know now that I get to see him again one day. But for this time that I'm here, I'd just like to say thank you to y'all and everyone at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. What a wonderful blessing y'all have been for the loving care, the kindness, and compassion that y'all showed there at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. It's just so many bruised and broken-hearted people out there in the world around us today, and they need that. Yeah. They need that kind of love and compassion that is shown to those who come through the Chattanooga Rescue Mission, and it gives them hope. Because, you know, I know what it is like to be out there in the world without hope and without God. Huh. And it's a miserable life to live. And I guess I know that God had brought me to the Chattanooga Rescue Mission and allowed me to meet each and every one there, especially, you know, the teachers. What a wonderful blessing each and every one of them has been. And how that God has revealed to me that, you know, in Romans, you were talking of it this morning, in Romans 5:8, God, and how He had just demonstrated His love toward us, and while that we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. It was that precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, that was shed upon the cross of Calvary and bore my sins, and to pay a sin debt in which I could not pay.
Amen.
It was paid in full. And I thank my Lord, my God, and my Savior Jesus Christ. Thank them. And most importantly, thank you again for letting me share that little bit of a testimony.
Amen. Thank you, Clint. Appreciate that. Amen. Amen. All right. Who else has a word of testimony to share on this side?
I don't know if I count, sir, on this side, but I'm good at talking whichever side I'm on.
You want to walk over to this side? You could, if you want
if
to.
It'll make
you
feel better. So I can talk wherever. So, so much I could say, and so much has been said. I just wanted to briefly add how the Lord has used this church to encourage us and truly provide a family for us. Many of you could speak to this, that your family doesn't live here. Many of you, your family lives other places, some for different reasons. I know my family is in different parts of the world, and the Lord has taken them, and I'm so thankful for that. But you still need a family. You still need people around you that you can rely on. We came here in 2012, and I won't get into all that story, but we also arrived a bit discouraged. Life can knock you up sometimes and really just kind of knock you about and leave you a little bit hurting and questioning even what the Lord is doing. But I just think back every time how well this church received us. Many of you were here before we came. Some of you have come since we've come. But I look around the room and I just think of different families and how well we were loved on and how well we were received. And you never know sometimes. The person that walks in those doors, you never know how much encouragement they may need and how God can really use you. And I'm so thankful that this church has, in a sense, become family to us, that there are people here who have poured into us and in ways they didn't even know, been a blessing to us. So I'm thankful to the Lord for that.
Amen. All right. Who else has a word to share on this side? Yes, ma'am.
I first came to this church on October 21st, 2012.
I thought you were going to say 1931, Miss Sutherland. No, I don't know why.
That was before I was born. But I came on the recommendation of Pastor. I moved from Sequatchie Valley over here to Eastridge, and the Lord just put me down the street a little ways. And the pastor that I had before said, well, you need to try Stanley Heights Baptist Church. The first Sunday I came was Missionary World Vision. And Michael Henson was giving his first call to the mission field. And he started his deputation here that Sunday. And Brother Dave Harris preached, and he was becoming the director for the Far East Mission Board. And it was a blessing to me because missions was at my heart, what the Lord wanted. And I knew that this was where the Lord wanted me. And so praise the Lord for his goodness and for Pastor recommending where I needed to be in church. And he knew some family here. And then I have some friends in another church back where I was, and I went to Community Baptist Church at Lowell, Minnesota, if you know where. But anyway, there's a family there that were good friends of the Taylors, and I met the Taylors, and you know, it just became part of family for me.
Very good. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And wonderful. Thank you. You know, Michael and Barbara will often watch on in Georgia. Of course, where they are in the country of Georgia, it's a little late. So, Michael, buddy, if you watch this the streaming, there's a shout out for you. And hey, to you and Barbara and boys, good to see you all. So give you that shout out as well. All right. Who else on this side? Okay. Well, with that being said, Brother Corey, would you come on and do our missionary highlights?
I'm super curious as to know who in here actually attended Stanley Heights on the Dabney Drive property. Dabney, yeah. So 25 years ago in July is when I visited Stanley Heights. And my mom wasn't feeling well that day, so she stayed home, and my dad took, I don't know if he took my youngest, but you know, I remember Jennifer was in it, and we drove around the parking lot. It wasn't a very big parking lot to drive around. And, we kept hearing roosters crow, which is odd. It's in a subdivision. You couldn't find the church. You had to follow these little signs. And we pull in the parking lot, and I don't know who said it. It was either me or my sister. It kind of runs together. My sister Jennifer, if you remember her. And one of us said, aren't we going to go in? And Dad said, wait a minute. And what he did was kind of interesting. He drove in the parking lot, and he looked at the license plates. And when he saw four different counties in three different states, he thought, you know, that might be a special place to go to. And I'm very pleased and excited to be up here to say that's been 25 years ago, and I'm grateful for it. And Stanley Heights has come to a lot of different changes since Dabney Drive. God has used it and funneled it to what he wants it to be, and I'm grateful for it. People come, people go. But God's word doesn't. It's always here. So kind of focus. So that was my testimony, of how me coming to Stanley Heights and grateful for it. I'll tell you one story. So I was one of those members that had the opportunity and privilege to vote for a pastor. And so we did have a vote before. And I voted in that. I guess I'll tell you. I voted nay on that one. That's okay. And the second person that we voted on, it was a little bit different. I don't know. He was strange. he decided to show up to an activity at Sue Dolan's house. And we're playing volleyball out there. And he shows up in these bright white khakis. And he decides that he wants to play volleyball. I mean, I'm like, okay, this guy's going to play volleyball. He's out there diving for these balls. And I looked at his wife, and I said, how are you going to get those grass stains out? And she says, oh, he does it all the time. I have a way. I don't know if she ever got those out. But at that time, I kind of realized that the candidate that was there was somebody who, if he plays that hard, he works that hard. And it's weird. It's a weird thing to say, but because he was diving in khakis for volleyball, I voted for him. I think it speaks of the character of our pastor and what God has done through him. It has nothing to do with him. He is a vessel. And we all need to be empty vessels so God can do great things through us as well. So grateful to talk about Paul and Sarah Johnson in Aomori, Japan. They are looking for a place to meet. They're not there right now. They're home on furlough. I say home. They're in the States. They're probably busy driving and going to different places, and they probably don't even see home. But they asked us to pray for them about a meeting place, and they said that someone in the church was talking to someone else who had a restaurant, and they said, hey, we have a restaurant that we can rent. So it's a possibility that they have a place when they get back, so we'll pray for them. And their safety as they are reporting to their churches. Again, Josh and Jamie in our restricted area. Again, if you don't know who this wonderful family is, please go check them out on our prayer letter in the back. Last name is P, starts with P. You can find them back there. So they are trying to get some ESL classes started there in their area, and they're also some gas lines broke. They're hoping that those get fixed. So to pray for that, Josh's relative, it was his uncle passed away. He wants us to pray specifically for his aunt. And they have fall outreach ministries coming up. And then their project that we were able to send a love offering to, that's going on right now. And just so you know, you don't have to wait to send an offering. You don't have to wait for the church to initiate that. If you have something on your heart for a missionary, you can designate it in an envelope, and we'll get it to them, or the church will get it to them. So if you're looking for opportunities to help missions in a different way, a greater way than maybe Faith promised, we have plenty of directors here. Just ask what's going on, and if you want to get involved that way, and just mark it and designate on your envelope. But let's pray for the Johnsons and Josh and Jamie. Lord, we're grateful for them. We're grateful for our missionaries. We're grateful that we can come to you and just lift them up and say, Lord, help them. I'm sure it would be such a great encouragement for them to know that we're praying for them. Lord, I pray that they know that. I pray for the Johnsons and specifically a place to meet. If it is this restaurant, I pray that it is a good price and something for them. It just clear open doors. If not, Lord, we want you to make it clear for where they are to go to worship. Lord, we pray for Josh and Jamie in now a restricted area and their family. We pray protection upon them. It was not restricted when they went. But now they're there and they love the people there. And any of you I know just talking to Josh, he loves that area. I pray that you help him and give him wisdom and direction to know how to do his ministry now, because I'm sure it's all changed. And he probably has questions. I pray for just his aunt as she is mourning the loss of her husband, and for maybe the details there that have to get finished once a loved one has passed. Lord, I pray for our continued faith in you as we give. I pray, as it is our anniversary, our 75th year, as we continue to give to our local church, that we continue to do what you have for us. Continue to raise up our leaders and give them the mind that they need that is of you. Put it in their heart to be selfless and transparent, and help us to be a light to our community. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me share with you my scripture testimony for tonight, and it goes as a scripture I invite you to turn with you to. It's the second Psalm, Psalm 2, and I want to share with you, read the entirety of this Psalm and share some things with you that have found very helpful to in these last, the last month or so, the turmoil in our world. And it is very disturbing, some of the things that have happened in our world. It's very disturbing. Whatever your view of Afghanistan and your view of what should have been done and what the long-term plan and mission of Afghanistan was, is not my point. Though I know that many of us have very strong opinions on this matter. But whatever your view is, to me, it is remarkable and unconscionable that we knowingly and willingly left Americans behind there. It just has been, it's just very upsetting to me. And knowing not just them, but many allies that served us, that we left vulnerable for a political reason, in my opinion. And when you think about this 20th anniversary of 9/11, and you think about all that was involved in this war on terror that was begun as a result of that event, and those world events, and numbers of our people here, Corey's one of them. Served on the ground in that war and know what it is and have seen it. And many of you have in a number of different theaters and So I think about it, and then I watch with great heartbreak as we watch the decline of this great nation. And friends, I think, again, this is not a political statement, though it is hard. Maybe it is a political statement now that I think about it. But when in a nation like this, when you think about when right is called wrong and wrong is called right, and the world is upside down, and it's very upsetting. Am I the only one that feels this way? Is anyone else? Am I the only one, or do you feel this way? Are there other people? Okay. And can I say, and this is definitely a political statement, I do not have a lot of confidence in our political leadership. And choose your state, and we have people that live in two different states. And choose the people that you and we as a people have elected. And frankly, I have very little confidence in our courts that we go by the rule of law anymore. And maybe it's been a bit of an illusion that we have lived by the rule of law. For many years, our Constitution has been turned upside down. And if you read the Constitution of the United States, there are so many things in it that are so clear. And yet it's been stripped of its meaning. And so you say all that and you say, well, what in the world is going on? And that brings me to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This reminds us that that is taking place in our world is a spiritual battle, so that the kings and these in authority are setting themselves against the Lord. And then you'll notice against his anointed. This is translated in the New Testament. When it is quoted by Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 25, the anointed one there is always, it is Christ, Jesus Christ. And when you read about Messiah, the anointed one as it is here, think, and then in your New Testament you read Christ, think the anointed one. So that this is quoted as being a description of Jesus in his arrest and his trial and his crucifixion. And reminds us that what was taking place on Calvary's Hill those many years ago was far bigger than what was taking place on Calvary's Hill. This was one event in human history, the central event in human history, but one event in human history. But this was not just an event of Romans and Jews seeking to eliminate a person who, for one, is a religious problem, for the other, is a political problem. This were the forces of hell gauged against the forces of Almighty God. And in the world in which we live, this spiritual battle is always raging. And human history marches to a designed end. And God is the ruler of it all. Well, this psalm then tells us about Jesus in his resurrection, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. So that while Jesus was even being crucified, God Almighty in heaven was laughing. And this was not a laugh of mocking. This is a laugh of irony that these who thought themselves so powerful and strong, they were going to take care of this Jesus. Yet all of this was within his hand and his plan. In fact, it could be no other way. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. This is Jesus in his resurrection and ascension. Acts chapter 13, verse 33. Thou art my beloved son. This day have I begotten thee is quoted. And it is not of Jesus' birth, though he is the only begotten son in his birth. This is a quote of his new birth, his resurrection from the dead. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 5, verse 5, do the very same thing. So that Jesus, while humanly it looked as though he was a problem eliminated, in reality, he is resurrected and he is Lord and Christ above all things. And then the psalmist says, as he describes Jesus in his millennial reign, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This is a psalm that quotes Jesus or speaks of Jesus, and it's quoted again and refers to Psalm 22:27, where Jesus reigns. Revelation 12, verse 5, Jesus is described as the child born of a woman, that is of Israel, the one that is designated to be the ruler who rules with a rod of iron. And this describes Jesus in his reign. And while today we look at our world scene and we look at our national scene and we are dismayed and we ought to be dismayed, let us never forget that in the epical events of human history, the Almighty God is still the Almighty God. And as he has been faithful in prophesying and fulfilling the crucifixion of Christ and prophesying and fulfilling the resurrection and ascension of Christ, and Jesus even tonight is on heaven's throne reigning, he will one day accurately fulfill his promise that he will reign as King and Kings and Lord of Lords. And all of human history is moving toward that great event. Is the vaccine the mark of the beast? How many of you have seen that on Facebook somewhere or something like that? The mark of the beast is the vaccine. Well, maybe it's the vaccine. I don't know. I just feel like I've opened a can of worms. But I'm not going to get into vaccines. Whatever you want to do and whatever you have the liberty to do with you and your doctor and medical, you decide what you want to do. That's not my business. And whether I have the vaccine isn't your business either. But I will say I have natural antibodies. The blood assurance thing keeps asking for my blood. They want my antibodies, I guess. So is the vaccine the mark of the beast? Well, it's not the mark of the beast, I don't think. But I will say this. How many of you, like me, have been amazed in a pandemic that is serious for some? And we've had some of our folks have been very sick. We have had people in our congregation with relatives who have died from this, not the vaccine, maybe the vaccine, I don't know, but from this virus. All right. So I am, please understand me, I am not minimizing the significance of it. But I'm amazed for something that has such a high recovery rate, the extent to which people will cede their individual liberties and the extent to which governments overreach and take individual liberties and control over people's lives for something that has over a 99% chance of recovery. And what I'm saying is this. That we have watched in the last 2 years, we have watched nations, and our nation included, we have watched people, and you realize how easily controllable a population is when they perceive a crisis. And my friends, whenever the judgment comes, in the tribulation period, it will be no wonder people, there will be no question in my mind that this is actually helps us to understand how the world population responds when there's a crisis and how totalitarian oriented governments, even though they may be in free countries, a totalitarian is a totalitarian no matter what stripe he takes or she takes. but the degree to which people are willing to cede their liberties. And when this world breaks loose and the judgment of God pours forth, my friends, it will be no problem for the Antichrist to place his mark, whatever that may be. Don't think it's a vaccine. And people willingly give up their liberty out of fear. And governments willingly control them for a thirst for power. So is the vaccine the mark of the beast? I don't think so. But I do say that we're watching another event that helps us to understand that all of human history is leaning and leading toward this day when God ultimately fulfills his plan and his prophesied will for this world and judgment. And then Jesus will sit on the throne. And then we end this psalm, and it's a wonderful psalm, because now it brings us, having seen the past from our standpoint. Of course, when David writes it, all of this was future. We see the past, two major events of the past, in the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. We see one that is yet to take place in the millennial reign of Christ. But the end of this psalm is a plea for each of us, no matter who we are, small or great, to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. No matter who you are, the greatest of us, societally and politically, seek the Son. And I hope you do pray for those who, in our country and really around the world, are places of leadership, that they would seek the Son. But all of us, no matter who we are, to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And we'll close out this day by quoting the song, the words from the song that the kids sang this morning to start 10:30 service. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I want us to say it together. You may want to turn in your Bible there if you need it. Many of you, I know, have this memorized, and if you don't have it memorized, this is a really great one to memorize. Let's say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 together, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Lifting our voices, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's stand together and we'll pray. Lord God, it is so good to know, in a time of turmoil and grave concern, that you are the Almighty God. You promised millennia before centuries before Jesus came. And you told us that he would be taken and mocked, derided. And indeed he was. You told us that he would be resurrected and ascended, and indeed he was. You tell us that he will one day rule and reign, and indeed he will, while we wait on that time, Lord God. Help us to embrace you and respond to you in love and trust, for you are worthy of all of our trust. And we come to you as we close out this day of worship before you, praising you that you have proven yourself true, that as we've trusted you, you've directed. As we've leaned not to our own understanding, you have guided our path. And it gives us hope and confidence in the future. For we believe you are still the Almighty God that doth wonders. And we pray this in the name of the incomparable an unconquerable Son of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good night. God's blessings on you this week.